He's a well-known missionary. He was a missionary to China, actually. His name was Jonathan Goforth. He was a missionary to China in the 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s. And in the year 1900, in China, there was a lot of unrest. And especially if you were a foreigner. And there were uprisings that took place in China during that time. In the West, we call it the Boxer Rebellion, but in China, you have a different word for it. You don't call it that. You call it something else. I'm not sure what you call it. Mrs. Goforth writes about what happened to them when they were there. They were in China, in the interior part of China at the time, and the uprisings took place. And if you were a foreigner and a Christian, it wasn't a happy time. And so people were executed, and basically people were fleeing for their lives. And the Goforths had to do that. They had to flee for their lives. And Jonathan Goforth was basically beaten up and left for dead, but he actually didn't die. His wife and his baby, they all escaped. The whole family was able to escape, and it's quite a story. It's by the grace of God that they escaped. But many did not. In fact, most did not escape during that time. And their crime was they were foreigners. That was their crime. And they were Christians. And so they had two crimes, foreigners and Christians. Now, the world has a long history of treating foreigners poorly. And it's something that has taken place not just in China, but all over the world at different times in history, at different places. And the world has a long history of treating Christians poorly as well. From the Soviet gulags, the prison camps, to Nazi Germany, which, you know, Jews is what they're most famous for persecuting, but there were a whole lot of Christians who were thrown in the Nazi camps along with them. To Idi Amin in Uganda, to, we can go on and on talking about the persecution of God's people. In the Muslim world, I talked about it with Indonesia just a few minutes ago. It's real. 1 Peter is a book for foreigners, for aliens, for people who are in a strange place. It's actually written to such people. Which means 1 Peter is a book for Christians. Because that's what we are as Christians. And so I'm going to read, and all we're going to cover today is the first two verses in 1 Peter. And so that's all I'm going to read. It's just the introduction to the book. So if you're there, you can follow along. 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Okay. The first word of the book identifies the author, Peter. And then he tells you who he is, an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is the same Peter who was with Peter, who was with Jesus, sorry, of whom Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." This is that Peter. It thus carries with it the apostolic authority. This is written by one of the apostles of Christ. He then describes his audience. who he is writing to. And the next two words literally are to the elect. That's all one word in Greek. Exiles. That's this translation. And so it means, elect means chosen. Exiles means foreigners, strangers, aliens, something like that. Peter is writing to foreigners, to strangers. And then he says, in the dispersion amongst, and he lists five regions, Pontus, Galatia, all those, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Those are regions in the Roman Empire in Peter's day. And today, they're located in modern-day Turkey. And so those five regions take up the most of what is today Turkey. And so that's who he's writing to. And we can kind of put it this way. Chosen aliens, and then verse 2. According to the foreknowledge of God. They're chosen aliens according to the foreknowledge of God. And then they are chosen aliens in the sanctification of the Spirit. That's also in verse 2. And then they are chosen aliens for obedience to Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. The chosen aliens is driving the whole thing. So they're chosen aliens. Once Peter introduces himself, he goes into who he's talking to, and these are people God has chosen. In other words, the very first thing he gets into is the doctrine of election. They're elect exiles. They're chosen aliens. If you're a Christian, that's you. Now we got to talk about that. Because it's one of those doctrines that sometimes people have a difficult time swallowing. Because they think, well, if God chose me, then what I do? Well, that's kind of the point. The gospel is about God and what God has done. And it isn't really about us. I don't mean we don't repent. I don't mean we don't. He doesn't call us to faith. He does call us to faith. But we need to understand that the gospel is about God first. And this idea of God choosing his people isn't unique to Peter. Jesus spoke this way. Here's what Jesus said. He said, "Do not think that you chose me, but I have chosen you." That's what Jesus said. In John 15:16. Paul talked this way. Paul says in Ephesians 1, I think it's verse 4, he says, I got to go through verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly places with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's verse 4. I memorized it with verse 3 first. And so I tried to pull it up without verse 3 and didn't flow. Sorry. But he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's how Paul puts it. And Paul talks about this doctrine a lot. And now we're seeing Peter talk this way, using this chosen elect vocabulary concerning a Christian. And he says, I'm writing to people who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, in your room of God, in your view of God, you need room for the sovereignty of God. There needs to be a category in your view of God where you say God is God. He's sovereign. That God knew you and he chose you before the foundation of the world. That's Ephesians 1:4. It means that you and I were nothing. But oh my, look what God has done. God has done something amazing with us. And we're not with God because we are good. We're with God because he is gracious. Mm-hmm. And there's got to be room in your theology for that concept. Now, I want to bring this doctrine to life a little bit. And the way I want to bring it to life is this. If you're a Christian, what I want you to do is think of your story of how you became a Christian. Because you weren't born one. Something happened, and you became a Christian. Now, in my story, I was actively pushing God away. I wanted nothing to do with God. People would talk to me about God, and it was like, get out of here, I don't want to hear it. And that was my attitude, my response to God, as God was pursuing me. But I look back at my story, and what I see is I see God changing me before anything else ever happened. God was doing this, not me. Now, if you're a Christian and you look at your story, you're going to see something like that in your story. You're going to see God coming after you. And God changing you. And God choosing you. You're going to see it. It's part of your story. And I do this because I want you to see that this idea of God choosing us is real. It's just as real as your story. It's not some philosophy that's out there in space, and it has no bearing on how we live life and what goes on here on earth. It's a real life concept that God does in our lives. You see it in your practice. You see it in your own life. Now, do I have difficulties understanding how to put everything together about God choosing me? And, you know, yet God holds me responsible for things. Yeah, I have difficulties putting all of that together. But I believe it. And I believe it thoroughly and completely because I see it in Scripture. It's there. And in fact, I see it everywhere in Scripture. And then I look at my own life and I see it in my life too. Now, this idea of chosen, we need to talk about what it does and does not mean. It does not mean that Christians are somehow better people than other people. Oh, God chose these good people because they... No, that's nonsense. Sometimes that's what the Jews did with the concept of the chosen people. We're up here and they're down there, and God chose us, and get that out of your head. That's not what chosen means. Chosen simply means God was gracious to us, despite ourselves. He was with me. Being chosen should humble us, not make us proud. If it makes you proud, you don't understand what it is. It should bring gratitude, because you know you're not worthy. It should bring worship, because you understand you don't deserve this. Being chosen should also give you security in your salvation, because your salvation does not depend on you. It depends on God. Now, when we truly believe that our salvation rests on God and not on how good we are, not on whether we sinned last night or not sinned last night or whatever it is, when we truly believe that our salvation rests on God, it frees us. It gives us assurance. It enables us to put on the helmet of salvation that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6. You can put that on because you know it's true, and you can rest in it. I was talking with a friend recently. He was raised in a church where your salvation did depend on, you know, how good you were. You could lose your salvation and then gain it and lose it and gain it and lose it and gain it 50 times in a year. And that's how their theology worked. And it depended on your ability to live a pure life. And he said he was raised in that church, and it was insane. He said, I was up, I was down, I was up, I was down. And he said he started reading the Bible. And as he started reading the Bible, he came across this doctrine of election. And he said, oh my goodness, this was so freeing. I didn't have to be up and down and up and down and up and down. I could just rest in God. My salvation didn't depend on me. It depended on God. If you ever doubt your salvation, it may be because you believe that it depends on you being good. Because, let's be honest, none of us is ever really good on our own. But if your salvation depends on the blood of Christ and nothing else, and on God's choosing you before the foundation of the world, if God is for you, who can be against you? I don't even think you can be against yourself. This truth brings stability to a believer's life. When we doubt it, we're like a wave tossed back and forth in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Now, that idea of election is the very first thing Peter says in this book to the chosen, the elect. The very first word he gives after he introduces himself. He's talking to chosen people. The second thing he says is that they are exiles. It's the next word, to the chosen exiles, the chosen foreigners, the chosen aliens. Now, as internationals, you guys understand this concept really well. Because you guys are, in a sense, a real sense, aliens in a place that's not your original place. You've come from Korea or China or Indonesia or Greece or... Those are your home countries, but that's not where you live. You live here. You live in a culture. not your own. You don't speak the language as well as a native speaks the language. There are things about American culture you just don't understand sometimes, right? Sometimes you may feel like an outsider here because you just kind of, you don't fit in. Well, those are the kinds of people Peter's talking to. He says that he's talking to foreigners in the dispersion in those five provinces in Turkey. Now, there's some debate as to whether or not these exiles are literally, physically exiles, aliens, in the same sense that you are. Whether you are physically living in a place that's not your original home. And there's some people who argue that these people also are physically living in a place that's not their original home, that they've been forced to move to these regions, to begin Roman colonies in these regions. And there's some good case to say that that might be true. But everybody agrees, even the people who say these are physical exiles, that they are also exiles in the sense that a Christian is a foreigner on earth. Because this is not our home. We have another home. We live here temporarily because we have to. But this isn't our real home. And that is, everybody agrees that Peter is talking about that. Whether he's using the fact that they are physical exiles as a picture to say, hey, you understand this really well. Or whether he's just coming right out and talking about them being strangers in this world. Everybody agrees he is saying that. And so the idea is that as Christians, you're a foreigner in Pontus. And as a Christian, you're a foreigner in Galatia. And that's the idea. You're strange. And the idea is that as a Christian today, I am a foreigner in America, even though I am an American. And as a Christian today, you are a foreigner if you were to go back to China. You would be a foreigner in China in a very real sense as a Christian, or Korea, or Greece, or Indonesia, or wherever you're from. That's real. And the same kind of, you know how it is as an alien here, it's kind of, I don't speak the language and all that kind of stuff, I don't understand everything, I'm an outsider. As a Christian, there's a sense in which you're an outsider in whatever culture you're in. It doesn't matter what culture you're from. My home is not ultimately America. Spiritually, I'm not from here. I'm from somewhere else. I'm a citizen of another place who temporarily lives in America. It means that the values of America are not my values. And the same thing is true of you. China is not your home. In a very real sense. I'm not saying it's not your home physically. It is. But spiritually, when you become a Christian, it isn't your home. And when you go back, what you may find as a believer is that people will think you're very strange. Your parents may oppose you. We've seen that. Your friends may say, oh, you don't believe those myths, do you? That's just silly. How can you believe that stuff? People may just push you just to get a job. Get a good job, get some good pay, find you a wife or a husband if you're a girl. Settle down, just, you know, that's their values. That's the important stuff to them. Not that any of that's wrong. There's nothing wrong with any of that. It's just that's not what life's about. You don't follow the party. Fit in. But if you belong to Christ, you are never going to quite fit in. Now, this is real, guys. It was real in the first century when Peter is writing to these exiles. And it's real today. You see, God changed you. That's what happened. God changed you. And when he changed you. You're not the same anymore. You're not what you were. That's why you don't fit in. That's why you will be a foreigner within your own country, just as I am in America. Because you become strange to people. Now, as internationals, you are aliens in America. And as Christians, you are aliens in America. And so as an international Christian, you are a double alien in America, in a sense. And if you became a Christian here in America because you thought that doing so would help you fit in, I sure hope you didn't do that. Because just the opposite took place. You actually will fit into America much less as a Christian than you will as a non-Christian. You know, when we went through the book of Judges, the problem with the people, with the Jewish people, was they fit in. That was the problem. They didn't really understand that they were not supposed to fit in with Canaan. And they just followed Canaan and did what Canaan did. This book is a book of where Peter is writing to Christians who are strangers in the land that they live in because they're Christians. And he's going to be telling them, how do you live as strangers in this world? That's what this book is going to be about. Because that's what you are. You're a stranger in this world. And this world is going to want you to conform to it. And Peter's going to say, he's going to be talking about, no, you're called to something different. Live that way. That's what's going to happen in this book. And he's going to talk a lot about suffering in this book. Because that's part of the deal. That's part of the process of being weird and being strange entails suffering. The suffering is not always as severe and serious as it was with the Goforths that I talked about in the beginning of the story. But it's real. Now, I want to put together those first two words. So it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect exiles, the chosen aliens. God chose us to be foreigners. Those words are right next to each other. It's okay. It's good. God chose you to do that. Don't worry about it. It's God's will. He chose you to live on earth as aliens. because he knows that Earth isn't your home. See, God chose you. That means your identity is in Christ. It means I belong to Christ first. I am His. He is mine. I am an American second. God chose you to belong to Christ first. You are His. He is yours. You're Chinese second, or Korean second, or whatever country you're from, that comes later. But your primary allegiance is to Christ. So this is who the book is written to. To the chosen aliens in the dispersion of these five provinces of modern Turkey. And that's you and me. Not except the Turkey part. We're chosen aliens. And we're spread across this earth. Strangers in this land. Now that's as far as I think we're going to get today. According to the foreknowledge, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Christ and sprinkling with His blood, that's all rich stuff. That's really rich stuff that we do not have time for today. John Piper preached five messages on these first two verses. And I see why. Because there's so much here. I'm not going to preach five messages on these first two verses. Because I don't want to spend 10 years in 1 Peter. I am debating preaching another message on it, though, because of the stuff I can't get to. It's really good. We're going to go ahead and stop here. I'm going to have you guys pair off and pray. And I actually want you to pray for something specifically. And that is, in the message today, you're chosen. And what I want you to do is thank God for that. If you're a Christian, just thank Him that He chose you from before the foundation of the world. God loves you. You're special to Him. And so, pair off, find somebody, go somewhere, and you can pray that.